Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. This week, I've started a series entitled, A Better Way to Pray. And I tell you, I'm excited about this teaching. I'm aware that this is going to cause a lot of people to possibly misunderstand what I'm saying. And, you know, I've tried to alleviate some of these problems or minimize some of these problems by the very title that I've put on this teaching. It's entitled, A Better Way to Pray. It's not saying that if you don't pray this way that God doesn't love you and that nothing will work. I've done everything wrong that I'm teaching against. And yet I loved God and God loved me, but there is a better way to pray. And with all of that being said, I took the approach that Jesus took when he started teaching on prayer out of Matthew chapter 6 and the first four or five verses of Jesus teaching his disciples on prayer. Jesus began to counter wrong types of praying. And he made this statement in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. It says, "When thou prayest, be not as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray." You know, that little phrase right there, to me, it just has really impacted my life. Because there was a time that I thought prayer was good. It didn't matter how you prayed or whatever. God just knew what was going on in your heart. And just as long as you were praying, as long as you were trying to communicate, then everything was fine. Jesus made it very clear that prayer in itself is not something that's just going to solve all your problems, because hypocrites love to pray. And so people who aren't sincere with God love to pray. And he goes on to say in verses 5 and 6 that the reason that they love to pray was so that they could get the recognition of people. And we see this in our churches today. There are people that when they pray, you know, they may talk with the southern drawl the way that I do, and they may be a hick from Texas, but when they pray, all of a sudden they move into King James English. And, oh God, we knowest that thou hast, and we do all of this stuff. You know what? I'm not against King James. I read from the King James. I like the King James Bible. I believe it's the most accurate one out there. I'm not criticizing other people, but I'm saying I'm not against King James, but I don't pray that way. God doesn't talk in King James, and I don't talk to God in King James. I'm telling you, when people just switch over and all of a sudden, you know, they're talking like a hick from Texas, but then when it comes time to pray, they go into this deep voice and they go into Elizabethan English. In a way, it's comical. It would be funny if it wasn't so pathetic. But I'm telling you, we got so many religious forms today, and prayer is probably one of those sacred areas that most people won't touch and they won't counter this. And so what we do is start saying some things about prayer. But if you've got this foundation, if you've got all of these misconceptions about it, it's like trying to build a house on a faulty foundation. The house cannot endure any better than that foundation gives, you know, the foundation for the rest of that building. And so we're dealing with some of the foundational truths about prayer, and we're starting by saying that we need to re-examine some things. Prayer in itself, just because you got your eyes closed and you are talking to someone that you can't see, doesn't mean you're praying to the right person, and it doesn't mean that you're praying the right thing. Prayer can get you into a lot of trouble if it's done incorrectly. Prayer can actually release the power of the devil in your life if you are praying the wrong thing. Now, I've already dealt with that. I'm not going to go back over it, but I know some of you are just shocked thinking, no, it can't. Yes, it can. You know, some of the things that I've done, I've had lots of women come to me praying for their husbands. And it seems like that this is more women than it is men. Now, I've had men come and ask me to pray for their wives to get saved and stuff, but it just seems like that there are more women who are praying for their husbands. That seems like the woman seems to recognize that they need help quicker than a man does, and so they turn to the Lord and they're praying for their husband. But many times when women have come to me and said, would you please pray for my husband? And then they start telling me how terrible this guy is, and they just rant and rave and go on and on and on. Do you know, I've actually told people before, I said, the first thing that you need to do is quit praying for your husband. And some people are just shocked, like, Why would you ever say that? How could it be wrong? There could be no way that praying for your mate to be saved could be wrong. Yes, it can. If you're praying incorrectly, it could actually be doing much more damage than you're doing good. For instance, there are some women that I've heard them pray before, and they'll start off and they'll say, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to save my husband because..." And then they will spend 45 minutes saying, "He's the biggest reprobate. He drinks, he cusses, he runs around on me, he does this, he spends our money, he gambles, he does this." And they spend 45 minutes griping and telling the Lord how bad their situation is. And then they close it by saying, "In the name of Jesus, amen." Now, if you look at that prayer the way that I just described it, you spend 5 seconds at the beginning saying, "Father, in the name of Jesus, save my husband." And you spend a couple of seconds at the end saying, "In the name of Jesus, amen." But then 45 minutes in between there is nothing but griping and complaining. And just because you started in the name of Jesus and ended with the name of Jesus doesn't mean that it is a godly prayer. That's just wrong. And that kind of prayer is actually, you will come away from a prayer like that discouraged because all you've done is focus on and rehash the problem. You haven't focused on the promise. You've been focused on the problem. You haven't prayed in faith. You've prayed in unbelief. There's a lot of people that think prayer is just an opportunity to just vent all of their frustrations and do these things. And I tell you, if you do that, Satan is going to take advantage of those kind of words that you speak. You know, Charles Capps, he's not a close friend of mine, but I've talked to him a few times, and I've enjoyed Charles Capps' ministry, and he's told me that he watches me sometimes on television. But I heard Charles Capps one time talking about this very thing and saying that he was in the midst of a prayer and he was going on, and the Lord stopped him right in the middle of his prayer and said, "Charles, what are you doing?" And Charles Capps said, "Well, I'm praying." And the Lord spoke to him and said, "You aren't praying, you're complaining." And I tell you, I believe that that is absolutely accurate, absolutely true. That a lot of us are just venting our frustration. We're telling God how bad everything is. We're speaking forth our fears. We're speaking forth our unbelief. And because we started with "Father" and ended in the name of Jesus, we think it's prayer. And all it is complaining. There is a right and a wrong way to pray. And Jesus talked about us doing it with the wrong motive. If you are praying to be seen of people, then that little pat on the back that somebody gave you, that's it. That's all you're going to get out of that prayer. God is not going to release His power through unbelief prayers. There is a right and a wrong way to pray. And then He went on to say this in verse 7. This is Matthew 6:7. "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Boy, I tell you what, this is just like Jesus had written this about the modern day church. I tell you, this is so descriptive of where we are. There are people that they don't put the emphasis on what you say, the attitude that you pray in, but rather it's the length of time. And there's people telling you that if you'll just pray an hour or 2 hours a day or all of these kind of things, then you shall be heard and God is going to move in your life. That is exactly the opposite of what Jesus said. Long prayers are not better than short prayers. Spending large amount of time praying is not better than spending short amount of time praying. I bet you that there are many of you watching this program all around the world that have never, ever heard a preacher say anything like that. Basically, preachers are going to encourage you to pray as much as you possibly can. Jesus is saying, when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Let me just make it real clear that there's a lot of Christians that think that they are going to be heard for their much speaking. There's a lot of Christians that think unless they spend, quote unquote, some hour, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it is, whatever their religious system has dictated, there are many Christians that believe if they don't spend a certain length of time praying that they will not be heard. And this says that heathen people believe that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Do you know a good friend of mine, Dave Duell, he says that probably the best prayer is the one that goes, help. Amen. It's not the long prayers. Jesus didn't, you know, pray a long prayer when he stilled the wind and the seas. He just said, peace, be still. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He said, be healed. He spoke to demons and he says, leave. Man, short prayers. And yet look at the results. You know what? This whole concept that the length of time that you pray and how much time you spend praying, Jesus says that is a heathen concept. And yet this has filtered its way down into the church today. And I can guarantee you the vast majority of churches are going to put a huge emphasis on how much time you spend in prayer. Jesus started his teaching on prayer by saying that is a heathenistic attitude. It is not the length of time that you spend in prayer. I know some of you are just absolutely shocked. How in the world could a preacher be saying something like this? Well, again, I'm trying to unravel some things to jackhammer a false foundation so that we can lay a proper foundation. There's nothing wrong with praying a length of time if you do it with the right motivations. But if you do it like Jesus said, thinking that you are going to be heard for your much speaking, then that is the attitude of a lost man. That is the attitude of a person that doesn't understand their relationship with God. Now, that is really important. Let me just skip down, and I'm going to come back up into verse 8 here in just a minute. But look down in verses 9 through 13. That is what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And you know what? I am not saying any of these things trying to cause problems. I'm not saying it just for the purpose of trying to aggravate people. I'm sincere and pure in my motives for saying this. I'm saying it because it's the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. But our religious system today, especially the liturgical part of the body of Christ, have turned what is typically called the Lord's Prayer here, our Father which art in heaven, into a mantra that they quote, and they just repeat this vain. There's people that just go through the formalities. They repeat it as a group. And you know what? Again, it's not totally wrong. There is probably some benefit to it. There is probably somebody that this may be the only portion of Scripture that they've ever heard in their life. I'm not saying that it is completely wrong, but I'm saying it does fit into this category where Jesus said that when you pray, don't use vain repetitions. Talking about just reciting things over and over like a mantra, something that you do. Or going through a rosary where you say so many Hail Marys and Our Fathers and things like that. I know some people are going to be critical of me and think that I'm anti-Catholic and stuff. I'm not against anybody. I'm just telling you that those religious practices that are going on today are in direct opposition of what Jesus said right here. He says, do not use vain repetitions. Don't just recite things over and over and over and over and over and then think that you will be heard for the amount of time that you speak. That is a hypocritical, ungodly attitude in prayer. That is not what this is all about. If you were to actually look at the Lord's Prayer as listed here, it would be more accurate to say that this is kind of a model prayer because this prayer wasn't prayed in the name of Jesus. And Jesus made it very clear in John chapter 16 and then the disciples, Paul and all of them, talked about that we pray in the name of Jesus. This was prior to the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. And so, in a sense, this wasn't a New Testament prayer. Even though it's found in the portion of our Bible that we call the New Testament, Jesus hadn't risen from the dead yet. People weren't born again, and they weren't praying in the name of Jesus yet. So this isn't actually a prayer that we are supposed to recite. I don't believe that the Lord ever intended for it to be recited. And if you take it in its context, this verse 7, and when you pray, use not vain repetitions. Just two verses later, Jesus gave this model prayer, and yet people have taken this and have violated the whole intent of what he was saying in this passage of Scripture. And for thousands of years, people have just recited this prayer thinking that it's kind of like some amulet that is just going to ward the devil off and somehow or another make him disappear because they say these words. Jesus never intended for these words to be recited and prayed the way that it's being done in religion today. Rather, what it does is cover categories. It kind of shows you how to approach God. This goes along with like Psalms 100 where it says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise." And that's what this starts off with. You say, first of all, "Our Father which art in heaven." And you start praising God for who He is and for His goodness. And then you insert your petitions. "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And then you end it with praise. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." So it's basically just showing you that you start off praising God. You petition God for the things that you need. You believe Him for these things. I could go into a lot more detail on this, because when it says, "Give us this day our daily bread," it's not a question mark like, "Would you give us this day our daily bread?" But rather, it's making a demand on the power of God, not in an arrogant way, but in the way that a child comes in and says, "Mom, I'm hungry. Give me something to eat." That's not an arrogant statement. It's a statement of familiarity. They know the relationship. They know that the parent wants to provide their needs. And so it's a statement based on authority and relationship. This isn't saying, "Give us this day our daily bread," in the sense that we can command and make God do something. But it is showing that we have a relationship with God, that He told us to come in boldly and make our request known unto Him, to boldly come in and appropriate these things. Again, see, it's an attitude that most people in the New Testament in today do not have. They come before God asking like God is angry at them, like He's actually an adversary. There is none of this familiarity where they just come in and say, "Dad, I ask you to give me this because I know that you love me." But rather, we come in bowing and scraping, expecting God to strike us with something because we're so unworthy. And we come in and beg and plead and have no assurance and no confidence that God is going to do anything for us. Man, don't look at me in that tone of voice. You know what? Even though I can't see you right now, I can guarantee you there's people all over the world saying, "Who would do that?" Probably every person watching this program. There was a time in my life where I did that. And again, I say that God loved me and God knew my heart. But you know what? It was wrong. And I have learned a better way to pray. I have learned that I am not just supposed to be reciting words. I have learned that it's not the length of my prayer that pleases God, but rather it's the faith. And sometimes it takes more faith to say "help" than it does to spend an hour going through and telling God what the doctor has said and what the lawyer has said and all of these other kind of things. Man, it is not the length of time. And it's certainly not these mantras where you just go through and recite things. You know what this reminds me of? Some of you probably find this offensive, but I'm just trying to point out a lot of the hypocrisy that is going on in religion today so that we can get back to what God intended prayer to be. But I was actually flipping through the channels on a television one time, and I saw this program where it had this real eerie, weird music playing, and that kind of got my attention. And somebody was going through something like a catacomb. They were bent over and there was puddles of water. It was real damp in there and things like that. And you could tell that they were scared, and this scary music playing. And then they had a cross in their hand. And that's kind of what caught my attention. And I watched to see what this was. And they were going through, and all of a sudden they bumped into something. And when they did, they dropped this cross and it fell in the water. And they didn't know which puddle it was in. And they were frantic and they were trying to figure out where this cross was. And they were looking, and all of a sudden in the water, in the reflection that was in the water, all of a sudden here comes this face, and they look up and here's a vampire. And they were frantic because they couldn't find their cross that would scare the vampire away. And you know what? In a sense, that is funny to think that people would think that holding a Bible or a cross would scare any kind of a demonic thing away. I can guarantee you the devil translated some of these Bibles that people are using today. Satan is not afraid of the Bible itself. He's not afraid of a little piece of jewelry, a cross. And it's just stupid to think that holding your Bible up or holding a cross up would scare the devil off. That's religious. That's the kind of stuff that is done by religious cults. and stuff like that. It is the name of Jesus and faith in the name of Jesus that gives us power and authority over the devil. But you know what? There are people today that are using prayer that way, thinking that if I'll just pray an hour a day, that this will keep the devil away. It won't. I can guarantee you, if you're praying incorrectly, your praying an hour a day could be giving Satan a tremendous inroad into your life. That is not where it's at. It is not the length of time. It's not in mantras or little chants that you do that drive the devil away. You're going to have to get beyond all of that. You're going to have to go beyond this religious stuff that is called prayer, and you're going to have to get into heartfelt, heart-to-heart communication with God. Now, I'm going to be teaching on what prayer is, and we're going to be talking about how to do that. But the first point I'm making is that there are some of you that are confused and wondering, why isn't God answering my prayer? And all you're doing is reciting the Lord's Prayer, using a mantra. You are sitting here and thinking that if I could just pray a long period of time, and you aren't praying. You may be saying words, and again, starting with Our Father and ending within the name of Jesus, but that doesn't mean that it's true prayer. You've got to get rid of this religious stuff, all of the religious trappings. You've got to get to where you communicate with God in real English, not in Elizabethan English, and that you talk to God from your heart. Man, God hates a hypocrite. God hates religion, which is hypocritical, just form and rituals. That's not where it's at. And I know that there's many of you upset with me and thinking, boy, you are just tearing down all of the traditions of the church. Well, Jesus is the one that said it's the tradition and doctrine of man that make the Word of God of none effect. I'm telling you, you've got to get out of this junk that is being called prayer today and get into the real thing before you are going to get results. And there are some of you that may like the trappings and the liturgical stuff, and it just makes you feel good, and you're going for a feeling and an emotion, and you're offended at what I'm saying. Well, if you want all of that stuff and all this religious feeling, well, then help yourself. But if you want results, I'll tell you how to get results. I'll teach you a better way to pray. And I'm just encouraging you to drop your preconceived ideas, to open up your heart and let God speak to you through this. And I think it's going to make a difference.
Andrew's teaching titled A Better Way to Pray is available in book form for a gift of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Ask for book number T321. If you prefer, A Better Way to Pray is available in a 5-part CD album or in a DVD album recorded from television. Request album T1042 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify the CD album or the DVD album when you write or call. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side. The first audio CD in this album is also available for a donation. But for those unable to send a gift, Andrew and his partners will provide this first teaching free of charge. Request teaching TY21 titled Hypocrites Love to Pray when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to call in, not only to get these materials, but I know that many of you have been touched And you just need somebody to agree with you. You need to tell somebody that, you know what, I'm moving out of just the emotional realm and I'm moving into the Word of God. I'm going to make the Word of God my sure foundation. And we have some of the most anointed people that I know personally answering our phones. I mean, these people love it. There are people that have left big paying jobs to come and just talk on the phones, and they love it. They are ministering. They're anointed by God. So you can not only get the materials, but you could also receive prayer and just share with somebody. That they would be an encouragement to you. We have the number right there on your screen. Please call today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Caris Bible College Men's Advance this week, January 28th through the 30th. In Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar next week, February 4th through the 6th, and in Merritt Island, Florida, February 7th. He'll also be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, March 3rd through the 5th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Caris Bible College Campus Days, March 10th through the 12th, and in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar, April 15th through the 17th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite you to join me on March the 10th through the 12th for our Caris Bible College Campus Days. This is where we invite people to come in and check out our classes. We will be holding regular classes. It begins on a Wednesday and goes through Friday. You'll be sitting in on our Bible college classes. You'll get to hear the instructors. You'll get to have lunch with the faculty. There is also a soup supper. And it's just going to be a great time of the Word ministering to you. But also, if you have ever thought of coming to Caris Bible College, you need to be here. It's amazing what happens when people just come and try it out and get a taste of it. They get hooked on it. So I would encourage you to come check us out March the 10th through the 12th for our Caris Bible College Campus Days.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
There is a lot of false teaching, a lot of false beliefs about prayer that we've got to let go of and be willing to change before we can understand what true prayer is all about. You need to make sure that you're pure in your motives and you are talking directly to God and that there is no hypocrisy in it, that you aren't using prayer and saying in the name of Jesus when the truth is you're talking to the people who are listening to you and you're using that prayer to make your point. I'm telling you that this kind of vain repetition and just reciting things and thinking that you're going to get something extra just because you've punched in and you've spent a certain amount of time, that is nothing but religious traditions and doctrines of man, and it makes the Word of God of none effect. That is not the type of prayer that is going to get you results. Your prayer life should be at least 90% or 95%. Just worshiping God, loving God, thanking God, communing with God, and it shouldn't be all about asking for something, begging for something, trying to get God to do something.